So we're going for the Dundicha Marginum. So the next day, Lord Chaitanya, early in the morning, took these personal associates with him, and with his own hand, he smeared sandalwood on all their bodies. Then he gave everyone a broom, personally. And taking all of them personally with him, he went to Gundicha. That's down the road from Puri, from Jagannath. In this way, the Lord and his associates went to cleanse the Gundicha temple. First, they cleaned it with brooms. The Lord cleansed everything inside very nicely, including the ceiling. He then took up the sitting place, Singhasana. He cleaned it and again put it in its original place. Thus the Lord and his companions cleansed and swept all the temple building, big and small, and finally cleansed the area between the temple and the kirtan hall. So evidently that's like the Navadvip temple. So the temple means the deity room, and then there's the kirtan hall and a separate little space between. Indeed, hundreds of devotees were engaged in cleansing all around the temple, and Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was personally carrying out the operation just to instruct others. He washed and cleansed the temple in great jubilation, chanting the holy name of Lord Krishna all the time. Similarly, all the devotees were also chanting and at the same time performing their respective duties. So that's something we should learn. It's something I've noticed, and I heard one life member, one old person in India, he said when the devotees first visited with Srila Prabhupada, everyone was chanting all the time. Whatever they were doing. And, but he said, now you're not doing that. We chant when there's kirtan and then when we're cleaning. But we should be chanting all the time. Most of our engagements we can be chanting while we do them. If we're cleaning, cutting vegetables, you know, shopping, just walking around. So that's, everybody was chanting all the time while they were doing all the cleaning. The entire beautiful body of the Lord was covered with dust and dirt. In this way, he became transcendentally beautiful. At times, when cleansing the temple, he shed tears, and in some places, he even cleansed with the tears. After this, the place where the deity's food was kept was cleansed, the Bhoga Mandir. Then the yard was cleansed, and then all the residential quarters, one after another. It's a big temple. We can't go in there. You could go in there. They don't let the white guys in. And, but you can see that it's a big grounds and a big, big yard. After Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu collected all the straw, dust, and grains of sand in one place, he gathered it all in his own cloth and threw it outside. Following the example of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, all the devotees in great jubilation began to gather straw and dust with their own cloth and throw it outside the temple. The Lord then told the devotees, I can tell how much you have labored and how well you have cleansed the temple by seeing all the straw and dust that you have collected outside. Even though all the devotees collected dirt in one pile altogether, the dirt collected by Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was much bigger. Not just individually. After the inside was cleansed, the Lord again allotted areas for the devotees to clean. The Lord then ordered everyone to cleanse the inside of the temple very perfectly, by taking finer dust, straws and grains of sand, and throwing them outside. After Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and all the Vaishnavas cleanse the temple for the second time, he was very happy to see the cleansing work. While the temple was being swept, about 100 men stood ready with filled water pots, and they simply awaited the Lord's order to throw the water from them. As soon as Chaitanya Mahaprabhu called for water, all the men immediately brought the 100 water pots, which were completely filled, and delivered them before the Lord. In this way, Lord Chaitanya first washed the main temple and then thoroughly washed the ceiling, the walls, the floor, the sitting place, the singhasan, and everything else within the room. Of course, that's all a marble, you know, or stone temple or something, so you can just, they just throw water everywhere. If we do that, and then you can, you know, it's not easy for us to do it in that. We have to, we can't do it so nicely. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu himself and his devotees began to throw water onto the ceiling. When the water fell, it washed the walls and floor. When Chaitanya Mahaprabhu began to wash the sitting place of Lord Jagannath with his own hands, all the devotees began to bring water to the Lord. All the devotees within the temple began to wash. Each one had a broom in his hand, and in this way they cleansed the temple of the Lord. Someone brought water to pour onto the hands of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, and someone poured water on his lotus feet. The water that fell from the lotus feet of the Lord was drunk by someone who hid himself. Someone else begged for that water, and another person was giving that water in charity. After the room was washed, the water was let out through the outlet, and it then flowed and filled the yard outside. They designed the buildings, you know, like we see in Mayapur, Vrindavan. They just push the water, then there's a drain at the end. The Lord mopped the rooms with his own cloth and polished the throne with them also. In this way, all the rooms were cleansed with 100 water pots. After the rooms had been cleansed, the minds of the devotees were as clean as the rooms. When the temple was cleaned, it was purified and pleasing, just as if the Lord's own pure mind had appeared. When you clean the temple, you clean your heart. That's the motto that Prabhupada gave us. Since hundreds of men were engaged in bringing water from the lake, there was no place to stand on the bank. Consequently, someone began to draw water from a well. Hundreds of devotees brought water in the pots, and hundreds of took the empty pot away to fill them up again. With the exception of Nityananda Prabhu, Advaita Acharya, Swarup Damodar, Brahmananda Bharati, and Paramananda Puri, everyone was engaged in filling the water pots and bringing them there. Many of the water pots were broken when people collided with one another, and hundreds of men had to bring new water pots. Some people were filling, and others were washing the rooms, but everyone was engaged in chanting the holy name of Krishna and Hari. One person begged for a water pot by chanting, Krishna, Krishna, and another delivered a pot while chanting, Krishna, Krishna. Whenever anyone had to speak, he did so by uttering the holy name of Krishna. Consequently, the holy name of Krishna became an indication for everyone who wanted something, no matter what they wanted. And somehow everybody understood. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was vibrating the holy name of Krishna in ecstatic love. He himself was performing the work of hundreds of men. It appeared as though Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was cleansing and washing with 100 hands. He approached every devotee just to teach him how to work. When he saw someone doing nicely, the Lord praised him. But if he saw that someone was not working to his satisfaction, he immediately chastised him, but not bearing him any grudge. You know what grudge means?
No.
That means you're upset with that person and you hold it in and you constantly try to cause that person to suffer. Keep a grudge. Prabhupada just added that, it's not in the... Oh yeah. Ungrudgingly. Pavitra. He's purifying them. Purified chastisement. The Lord would say, you have done well. Please teach the others so that they may act in the same way. So even chastise the ones who did good. But why don't you teach the others then to do as good as you are? Why are you just doing good yourself? As soon as they heard Chaitanya Mahaprabhu say this, everyone became ashamed and the devotees began to work with great attention. They washed the Jagamohan area and then the place where food was kept and all other places were also washed. In this way, the meeting place was washed, the entire yard, the raised sitting places, the kitchen, and every other room. Thus, all places around the temple were thoroughly washed within and without. After everything was thoroughly washed, a Vaishnava from Bengal, who was very intelligent and simple, came and poured water on the lotus feet of the Lord. The Gaudiya Vaishnava then took water and drank it himself. Seeing that, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu felt a little unhappy and was also outwardly angry. Although the Lord was certainly satisfied with him, he became angry externally in order to establish the etiquette of religious principles. The Lord then called for Sarup Damodar and told him, just see the behavior of your Bengali Vaishnava. This person from Bengal has washed my feet within the temple of the Personality of Godhead. Not only that, but he drank the water also. E aparada mora kahan habe gai tomara gaudiya kare etakpe paijati. I now do not know what my destination is because of his offense. Your Bengali Vaishnav has greatly implicated me. Loving exchanges between the Lord and his devotee. Purport. It is significant that Chaitanya Mahaprabhu told Sarup Damodar that the Bengali Vaishnava is your Gaudiya Vaishnava. This means that all Gaudiya Vaishnavas are followers of the Chaitanya cult, are subordinate to Sarup Damodar, Goswami. The Parampara system is very strictly observed by Gaudiya Vaishnavas. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's personal secretary was Sarup Damodar Goswami. The next group of devotees was the sixth Goswami, then Krishnadas Kaviraj. It is necessary to observe the Parampara system in the Chaitanya cult. There are many offenses one can commit while serving the Lord, and these are described in the Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu, Hari Bhakti Vilas, and other books. According to the rules and regulations, one should not accept obeisances in the temple of the Lord before the deity. Nor is it proper for a devotee to offer obeisances and touch the feet of the spiritual master before the deity. It is considered an offense. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu himself was personally the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Therefore, it was not actually offensive to wash his lotus feet in the temple. However, because he was playing the part of an acharya, the Lord considered himself an ordinary human being. The point is that even though one plays the part of the spiritual master, one should not accept obeisances or permit a disciple to wash his feet before the deity. This is a matter of etiquette. Srila Prabhupada allowed that for some reason for himself. And when somebody pointed it, he said, that's a detail. But we don't allow it. We don't consider ourselves on that level. At this point, Sarup Damodar caught the Gaudiya Vaishnava by the neck and pushed him outside. He made him stay outside. Then he came and asked Lord Chaitanya to please excuse that Vaishnava. Chaitanya was very satisfied. He then asked all the devotees to sit down in two lines on both sides. Jai. Hare Krishna. Then he personally sat down in the middle and picked up all the kinds of straw, grains of sand, and dirty things. He was picking up his straw. He said, I will gather everyone's collection, and I will shall ask whoever has collected less than all the others to pay a fine of sweet cakes and rice. In this way, all the quarters of the temple were completely cleansed and cleared. All quarters were cool and spotless, like one's cleansed and pacified mind. When the water from the different rooms was finally let out through the halls, it appeared as new rivers were rushing out to meet the waters of the ocean. Outside the gateways of the temple, all the roads were also cleaned, and no one could tell exactly how it was done. So now comes the lesson, and this is very important, the long purport, and it explains a lot of things that we hear about and discuss and that we should think about. Bhaktivedanta purport. In commenting on this, Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur says that Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, as the world leader, was personally giving instructions on how one should receive Lord Krishna, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, within one's cleansed and purified heart. If one wants to see Krishna seated in his heart, he must first cleanse his heart. This is described in the Shikshastika, Cheto Dharpana Marjana. In this age, everyone's heart is especially unclean, as confirmed in Srimad Bhagavatam, Ridyantak Sto Yabhidrani, the knots in the heart. And that knot, Prabhupada said, has become, sometimes you get a knot, you can't get it out, right? You have to cut it. Sometimes happens in the Sikha once in a while. If you don't take care of it. A big old knot, you just have to cut it open. So that's how he said the knot in the heart, you have to cut it with the Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Hare. Can't untie it by our own effort. You need the sword of knowledge, and that is a japa. The center of that knot is sex desire, and then around that comes all kinds of so many coverings. It becomes so big. To wash away all the dirty things, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu advised everyone to chant the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra. The first will be that the heart is cleansed. Shinvatam Swa Kata Krishna Punya Shravana Kirtanam Ridyantak Sto Yabhidrani Vidunoti Saritsatam. By properly hearing and chanting the glories of the Lord, then the knots in the heart, the dirt in the heart is cleared away. It is virtuous, pious activity, punya shravana, just to hear Krishna katha, that is punya. And if a devotee at all wants to cleanse his heart, he must chant and hear the glories of the Lord. Shinvatak Sri Swakata Krishna. The simple process, Krishna will help cleanse the heart because he is already there. Krishna wants to continue living within the heart, and the Lord wants to give directions, but one has to keep his heart as clean as Lord Chaitanya kept the temple. The devotee, therefore, has to cleanse his heart just as the Lord cleansed the temple. In this way, one can be pacified and enriched in devotional service. If the heart is filled with straw, grains of sand, weeds, dust, in other words, anya bilashita purna, one cannot enthrone the Supreme Personality of Godhead there. The heart must be cleansed of all material motives brought about through fruitive work, speculative knowledge, and mystic yoga, bhukti, mukti, and siddhi, and so many other forms of so-called meditation. The heart must be cleansed without ulterior motive. As Rupa Goswami, Srila Rupa Goswami says, Anya Bilashita Shunyam Gyanakarma Dinavritam. In other words, there should not be any external motive. One should not attempt material upliftment. Understanding the Supreme by speculative knowledge, fruitive activity, severe austerity and penance, and so on. All these activities are against the natural growth of spontaneous love of Godhead. As soon as they are present within the heart, the heart should be understood to be unclean and unfit to serve as a sitting place for Krishna. We cannot perceive the Lord's presence in our hearts unless our hearts are cleansed. All material desires is explained as a desire to enjoy the material world to the fullest extent. In modern language, that is called economic development, artha. What do they call the banks? Like in Indonesia, the banks are called artha. Is that here? Artha means here economic development. In Malay, Bahasa.
Artha. Artha
means what? Yeah. Economic development. Kama artha. Everybody wants artha. Economic development. That's what are we, the universities, everybody's majoring in business and accounting. So they can get kama. Of course, if one has artha and he uses it for Krishna, that's very good. But it can be a dirt in the heart. A material desire. If one is overly engaged in material activity, the heart will remain disturbed. Narottam Das Thakur says, Samsara Vishanale Dviya Hiya Jwale Judayete Na Kainu Upai. In other words, endeavor for material opulence is against the principle of devotional service. Material enjoyment includes activities such as great sacrifices for auspicious activity, charity, austerity, elevation of the heavenly planets, and even living happily within the material world. Those kind of yajñas are condemned. Yajña for Vishnu is good. When we do sacrifice to please the Lord and to ask for more devotional service, very good, but just a big show to get rich, to be comfortable in the material world. They do so many yajñas for so many reasons. There are many desires to perform auspicious and inauspicious activities. One who cannot give up the desire for fruitive activity is understood to be covered by the dust of material contamination. One suffers due to his past fruitive activities, and you cannot counteract suffering by performing auspicious activities. The suffering of human society cannot be counteracted by material plans. The only way these sufferings can be mitigated is by Krishna consciousness. One who takes to Krishna consciousness and engages himself in devotional service of the Lord, beginning with chanting and hearing the glories of the Lord, the cleansing of the heart begins. When the heart is actually cleansed, one can clearly see the Lord sitting there without any disturbance. Srimad Bhagavatam, 9th canto, says, Sadavo Ridayam Mayam Sadunam Ridayam Twaham. That's when Durvasa Muni went to Vishnu to try to get help because he was being chased by the Sudarshan Chakra. So he said that I'm always in the heart of the devotees, and the devotees are always in my heart. Impersonal speculation, monism, speculative knowledge, mystic yoga, and meditation are all compared to grains of sand. They simply cause irritation to the heart. No one can satisfy the Supreme Personality of Godhead by such activities. Nor do we give the Lord a chance to sit in our hearts peacefully. Rather, the Lord is simply disturbed by them. Sometimes yogis and gyanis in the beginning take to chanting a Hare Krishna mantra as a way to begin their various practices. But when they finally falsely think that they have attained release from the bondage of material existence, they give up chanting. They do not consider the ultimate goal is the form of the Lord or the name. Bhagavad Gita says that those who are envious and mischievous, they are the lowest men. I perpetually cast them into the ocean of material existence. By his practical example, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu has shown us that all grains and sand must be picked up thoroughly and thrown out. He has cleansed the outside of the temple, fearing that the grains of sand would again come within. In this connection, Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati explains, Saraswati Thakur explains that even though one may become free from the desire for fruitive activity, sometimes a subtle desire for fruitive activity again comes into being within the heart. One often thinks of conducting business to improve devotional activity, but the contamination is so strong that it may later develop into misunderstanding, described as kutinati, fault finding, and pratishtaha, the desire for name and fame and high position. I know none of you have that. I do. These are dangers. And nishidachara, accepting things forbidden in the shastra, and kama, desire for material gain, and puja, hankering for popularity. The word kutinati means duplicity. As an example of pratishtaha, one may attempt to imitate Haridas Thakur by living in a solitary place. One's real desire may be for name and fame. In other words, one thinks that fools will accept one to be as good as Haridas Thakur just because one lives in a solitary place. These are all material desires. A neophyte is certainly to be attacked by other material desires as well, namely desires for women and money. In this way, the heart is again filled with dirty things and becomes harder and harder, like that of a materialist. Gradually, one desires to become a reputed devotee or even an avatar. We've seen that happen. So we have to be careful. There's a story that One time Haridas Thakur was chanting. He was always chanting, but he was in some open marketplace and he fell on the ground and he was exhibiting all ecstatic symptoms and crying and, you know, becoming all inert and all those things. So one brahmana saw him and all the people were honoring Haridas. Everybody was glorifying him. And so this brahmana thought, well, I'll do that. Then I'll get a lot of donations. And so he started rolling on the ground and crying. And there was one snake charmer. And the snake charmer got up and just started kicking him and kicking him and cursing him and kicking him. And he had to run away. To explain that, you know, the snake charmer was somehow empowered by Anantashesha. He was a devotee. But you can't get away with that, just imitating the pure devotees. But we try. We want to, following in the footsteps is not imitating. But we have to be careful. We saw our movement after Prabhupada left. Some people tried to think, now I'm as good as Prabhupada, I'm the guru, I'm the same. They lasted for a while due to their previous tapasya and service. But if we don't root out those kind of ideas, the mind is always madly, you know, wanting so many things. So ultimately, One wants to be a famous devotee, and then he wants to be an avatar. He wants to be Krishna. Jiva Himsa, envy of other living entities, actually means stopping the preaching of Krishna consciousness. It's a very heavy statement, this one. Jiva Himsa means violence. It's translated here as envy. Ahimsa, ahimsa means no violence. Preaching work is described as paropakara, welfare activity for others. Those who are ignorant of the benefits of devotional service must be educated by preaching. If one stops preaching and simply sits down in a solitary place, he is engaging in material activity. If one desires to make a compromise with the Maya body, he is also engaged in material activity. A devotee should never make compromises with non-devotees. By acting as a professional guru, mystic yogi, or miracle man, one may cheat and bluff the general public and gain fame as a wonderful mystic, but all this is considered to be dust, straw, and grains of sand within the heart. In addition, one should follow the regulated principles and not desire illicit sex, gambling, intoxication, and meat. Really covered a lot in that paragraph. Prabhupada really got to work on that one. To give us a practical instruction, Lord Chaitanya cleansed the temple twice. His second cleansing was more thorough. The idea was to throw away all the stumbling blocks on the path of devotional service. He cleansed the temple with firm conviction, as is evident from his using his own personal garments for cleansing. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu wanted to personally see that the temple was thoroughly cleansed to the standard of clean marble. Clean marble gives a cooling effect. Devotional service means attaining peace from all disturbances caused by material contamination. In other words, it is the process by which the mind is cooled. The mind can be peaceful and thoroughly cleansed when one is no longer desires anything except devotional service. Ekeha Kuru Nandana, all we want is to serve Krishna. Even though all dirty things may be cleansed from the sometimes subtle desires remain in the mind, for impersonalism, monism, success, and the four principles of religious activity, dharma, artha, kama, and moksha. All of these are like spots on a clean cloth. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu wanted to cleanse all the things. By his practical activity, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu informed us how to cleanse our hearts. Once the heart is cleansed, we should invite Lord Sri Krishna to sit down and we should observe the festival of distributing prasadam and chanting Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu used to teach every devotee by his personal behavior. Everyone who spreads the cult of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu accepts a similar responsibility. The Lord was personally chastising and praising individuals in the course of the cleansing, and those who were engaged as acharyas must learn from Chaitanya Mahaprabhu how to train devotees to practice by personal example. The Lord was very pleased with those who would cleanse the temple by taking out undesirable things accumulated within. This is called anartha nivritti, cleansing the heart of all unwanted things. Thus, the cleansing of the Gaudiya Mandir was conducted by Chaitanya Mahaprabhu to let us know how the heart should be cleansed and soothed to receive Lord Chaitanya and enable him to sit within the heart without any disturbance. Then they also cleanse the Nisringa temple, which is just next door. The king provided When Lord Chaitanya said he wanted to clean the temple, the king instructed the manager to give as many brooms and water pots and whatever they needed. So the king provided all that. So we should try to get a lot of devotees here after lunch and clean the whole temple. All the walls need cleaning. Need painting after that, but cleansing the temple is cleaning the heart. And cleaning any part of the temple, the bathroom, the same benefit. If one is chanting and doing it for Krishna's pleasure, there's no difference between cleaning the bathroom and cleaning the altar. Maybe even better to clean the bathroom. We just watched that movie last night, the Chaupati. So they stress on that. They clean the temple. And in that temple in India, the brahmacharis all clean the toilets and everything. I don't think in any other temple they do that. And Prabhupada bragged in India, these boys and girls are from rich families in America, but they are cleaning the toilet rooms. They are so humble. They've become so nice devotees. Because he knew in India, that's a bhangi job. Even the brahmachari, no, that's for the bhangi. They won't do it. But in the Chaupati temple, they all do it. Even the temple president. Everybody cleans it, everything. And that's where everybody looks to see, well, that's everybody's blissful. And so to do the job that seems unpleasant and not prestigious may be more pleasing to Krishna. If someone only wants to clean the altar and he doesn't want to do anything else, that may not be proper. Sometimes we want to get our hands dirty. So this is a lot to be learned. This Kutinati and Pratishtaha and Jiva Himsa, Puja, these are the dirt in the heart. So we have to protect our devotional creeper, put a fence around it. Like you see when they plant trees, they put a fence, right? So that animals won't, or somebody won't walk over it, or animals won't eat it. When they put so many trees around the Rikama Trail in Vrindavan, they put an iron fence around everyone. Otherwise the cow will just come and eat it, or the pig will eat it. Or somebody would drive a bullock cart over it. When the tree gets bigger, then they don't need the fence. So we have to protect our devotional creeper by putting a fence around it, of keeping away from bad association, and look out for these things. They're always attacking the mind. We want to be recognized, want to be famous. We think, well, there's no use preaching. I can't preach. We're always happening, to me anyway, always happening. Well, I can't preach right now. There's some, you know, when somebody asks a question, I'm thinking, you know, I have to do something else. But when we can fully absorb ourselves in the moment, in the preaching, and know that there's nothing further to be done, then we can be very powerful. And we're preaching only for the pleasure, chanting for the pleasure of Krishna, cooking for the pleasure of Krishna, doing the baby yajnas for the pleasure of Krishna. All these things are for the pleasure of Krishna. Then everything will be very nice. We create an atmosphere of Vaikuntha, where everybody wants to serve everyone else. Okay? So we have something to do, right? Shigundi Chimarjanam ki jai. Shishigornitai ki jai. Esi Bhakti Vedanta Swami Prabhupada ki jai. Kuala Lumpur Bhakta Rinda ki jai.